Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the only show on the internet where we talk about things like sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, and every Sunday night after each new episode of House of the Dragon, House of the Dragon. We just watched the latest episode, episode 205, titled Regent, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to break it down. We're going to give you insights. We're going to tell you whether it was good or bad, and you can go tell everybody else that you know, and we'll just tell you what to think. And I want to say up front, I'll just be honest, just going to, hello, Julie. Hey, everybody in the chat. Hey, Martha. Hey, Shiro. I'd like to go negative up top and say this was the weakest of the season so far, I think. A bit of a slow episode without the burn part. There were parts that I liked. I liked some bits. But the show seems to have trouble kind of really getting pep in its step sometimes. There's a lot of talking. Some of it was cool. I liked the Bela Corliss scene, probably my favorite one. I did get a little emotional during that one where she offers her the hand of the queenship. He's like, you should be my heir. She's like, no thanks. That was a nice moment between grandfather and granddaughter. I like the opening scenes with the dragon through the streets. I like seeing Aegon. Poor Aegon. Aegon had my favorite bits. When he said mommy at the very end, I saw it in the subtitles. Mummy. That got me. Aegon's my favorite. Even with one line, I love him. I like the beginning with the box. I like the beginning with the dragon. Like people going like, oh, crap. That's not good. That's not good. That's not good. And in between, why am I alone here? Or does the show feel slow? Natalie, Daniel.
It definitely feels slow. And it's one of those things where it's like last week was so action packed and so big that, okay, like maybe we need a breather, but it's also like we're in the back half of the season now and things need to pick up after this or else I don't know how I'm going to feel. Like I can give them a slow episode. It's fine. Like you were saying, there were still some good character moments and I still enjoyed it because this is my favorite show, but I think after this, it's like, okay, we need to get somewhere.
By the way, my name's Dan Selke, by the way. I didn't say that. Here with Natalie Zamora and also Daniel Roman, who are all here. We're here every Sunday and Wednesday. Hello. Daniel, what did you think?
That's how we know that you had beef, that you launched right into it before even introducing yourself. That's how much you dislike this episode. So I do think it was probably the slowest episode of the season.
Oh, definitely.
I still enjoyed it. I don't really have a problem with the slower pacing, but I do think there were some things this episode that I don't want to say that lost me, but that I enjoyed a little bit less, or like Natalie said, like I'm totally fine to give it a slower episode, especially after Rook's Rest. Like, yeah, super fine with that. But there are only three more episodes left this season, and I'd be lying if I said I'm not also a little bit concerned about the trajectory of where we are in this story and like where we could end up by season's end. There's a little bit of a feeling of dragging some plot lines out, and I don't quite, a lot's going to depend on the payoff, on whether that is a good decision or not for me. But there was a lot of stuff that I liked. I do agree that the Corlys and Baylis scene, that is by far my favorite scene of the episode. Got me a little choked up both times I've seen
it. Yeah, it did. I liked it.
Because, Corlys, you know, he didn't have a ton of scenes this episode, but I really enjoyed all of his scenes. And Bayla really stepped up this episode. I feel like Bayla and Jace really got to come to the forefront a little bit. And so far, they've kind of been held back. So I enjoyed that. I loved seeing Jace in his element. He's kind of like become the stealth MVP of Team Black a little bit. Like, when you stop to think about like all of the actual things he's done, because he's gotten the allegiance of the Arryns, which Rhaenyra kind of jeopardized by sending them baby dragons when they asked for an actual dragon. He has now treated with the Freys, and he got the allegiance of the North. So, like, Jace seems like the only one who's actually building the army that the Blacks will need. So, there was a lot of good stuff. There was some slower stuff. Daemon's...
Dude.
I think Daemon's dream... with Alyssa Targaryen. So for those of you, I saw someone ask in the chat if that was Daenerys. No, that'd be weird as well. But it's actually weirder even than that. That was Daemon's mom, Alyssa Targaryen. Okay, so my issues with this. One is just, we've talked about the dragging out of Daemon's arc at Harrenhal and all that stuff.
Dude.
Yeah, Stream Dog. Audio listeners, there is a dog on the stream. She is very cute. But beyond that, so my biggest issue with the Alyssa Targaryen scene is that it feels like it came out of nowhere, aside from just how freaking weird and awkward it was. It feels like it came out of nowhere. Like, when they introduced the idea of Aemond having mommy issues, I could buy that because, like, it fits with everything we've seen about his character. We've seen that Allison is a really neglectful mother. So, like, the pieces are all there. But for Daemon, it's like all of his issues have been, like, with his brother, with Rhaenyra. So for it to now suddenly be like, but really they're rooted in the fact that he never met his mom. It's like, okay, Freud, like, what are we doing here? So what did you two think of that scene? And then, like, I'm down to talk about whatever else, but I need to know your thoughts on the Alyssa Targaryen of it all.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Damon plot is pretty bad. Like, it's the one that's slowing things down the most. Mm. I mean, okay, fine. Have a creepy dream where you perform sex acts on your mother. I don't necessarily oppose this. It's creepy and weird and odd. And like you said, 40 psychologists everywhere are going to have a field day with it. I don't see the point exactly when there's a war on. There's folk fighting. And to me, a war implies movement. It implies momentum. It implies energy. And to have Damon spend the episode like kind of ineffectually trying to do a couple things that don't bear fruit and having him stop at every turn in ways that are very different from the book, too. Just FYI, people yes. Watching out there. In the book, Fire and Blood, not pictured here, Damon, you know, comes to Harrenhal and he immediately gets all the wealth of House Strong. But in this one, they make it so like, you don't have any money. Lara Strong took all the wealth to King's Landing. So that's like a little problem in his thing, in his way. He immediately kind of brings the Brackens to heel. He just kind of threatens their families and they're like, we're with you. And then all the other lords kind of capitulate and they follow. Here, he does this kind of complicated, circuitous plan where he gets the one Blackwood lord, Willem Blackwood, to go and commit war crimes against the Brackens. And then the other river lords come to his Harrenhal at night and wake him up and complain about it. And I'm like, your lords in Westeros and you're super duper offended by war crimes and you're gonna confront the guy who you apparently figured out sent them to be done and complain about it and say that you won't join me, even though he is a dragon. It seemed really weird and naive and kind of Pollyanna-ish for the world as we know it. It feels like they're putting things in front of him and I don't know why. And it's not fun to watch. It's not fun to watch someone who's been set up as kind of competent and dangerous and vicious and devil may care and just kind of does what he wants and to help the consequences be this kind of ineffective, flaccid, I might say. And I don't know what they're really doing with it, because it's making him just less interesting to me, where before I was always excited by to see Damon on my screen. And now I'm like, oh God, yeah. Another Damon scene. Is it going to be good? Natalie, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I felt like the dream sequence was kind of just like throw in a shock factor almost.
Yeah,
like,
wow, I guess.
Why do we need this? And it was like very graphic for what reason? Like it just felt weird. Like at first it's like, who is this woman? Why do I care? Then like, ew, okay. Why do I care? Like, this is just weird. And yeah, I don't like his storyline. I feel like I'm just such a big Damon fan that it's like disappointing to my core that he's acting, that like these things are happening to him. One, that he's not getting his way. Like it just shows that he's kind of more pathetic than I guess we thought, but also it's boring. So all around,
it's boring to watch.
Like, okay, let's just like speed this up. I need him to go somewhere else. And I was hoping that he would have a little bit more action, not just in his dreams by now.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh. Yeah. So I do have a thought on what they're doing with Damon in this episode. I think so. It's interesting to me that like Damon starts this season by committing a child murder. And now here at this point, he's trying to bring House Bracken to heel. And the people who came to complain, I didn't catch this my first watch. That's not like the core of House Bracken. Those are like vassals of House Bracken who feel it's unfair that their septs were burned and their children were kidnapped because Damon wanted to punish Lord Amos Bracken. But I almost feel like, so there's a line that King Viserys has in one of the early episodes of House of the Dragon, where he basically says, like, Daemon doesn't have the patience to rule. And like, that's just why he's not really threatened. Like, Daemon just, he wasn't really made to wear the crown. And I feel like Daemon is trying to convince himself that he could rule right now. Like, I was a little, I don't like him making his own claim. Like, I totally agree with everything both of you are saying about Daemon's plot line in general. And like, I've enjoyed the lore of it all, but I do think it is slowing things down, and it is taking him from being really competent in the book, because that is kind of the thing. Like, the war starts and Daemon just immediately starts showing like why he's the most competent Targaryen battle commander in the Seven Kingdoms, and the show is really taking him a different route. But I feel like with the Bracken stuff, so he orders Willem Blackwood to commit war crimes in his name, and it results in children being kidnapped, and they're like, yo, you're a child murderer, you're a tyrant, we won't follow you. And that's the one moment of the episode where he looks really shook, where he's like, what? Who said I murdered a child? I'll see them. And they're like, half the realm says you murdered a child, dude, and you just kidnapped a bunch of our kids. So I feel like it's showing that Daemon, even when he's trying to delude himself into thinking he could be a ruler, like, he literally is incapable of it.
I definitely see that they're trying to do that with Daemon, that they're trying to make it seem like he's not a great ruler. I guess my question is, why would you choose like a direction for the character that's so much more dull than it is in the books? Like, when he makes his like, I'm going to take King's Landing, if Rhaenyra wants to show me she can if she wants to, I don't really object to that on the face. That could be exciting.
Yeah.
But the way he's going about it, it's like, I don't feel threatened because apparently he's terrible at this. So it doesn't really have much of a much like oomph, because I'm like, okay, making your own claim. Well, I don't think you're going to succeed at that because you clearly don't know what you're doing. Whereas if they showed him as like able to do it, I would actually feel excited because like, oh no, he's a threat to somebody. But it's not working for me.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
I do think that they are being really gratuitous with the sex scenes too, like in a gratuitous way, like, because they have fewer of them maybe than like Thrones, that when they have them, like, thinking about like the brothel scene a few episodes back, where it was like very graphic, not talking about Aemond, but like the walk through the brothel, where it's like, oh, you guys went real hard right out of the gate, whether you needed to or not. I kind of got that feeling a little bit here too. Daemon's a big question mark. I don't know where they're taking him this season, but I hope he ends in a better place than he is here.
Yeah, it's curious stuff. Anything else that we liked, disliked, any other scenes worth talking about? And we can take a comment break too. But Natalie, is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything that stuck out to you?
Honestly, it's so bad because, like, I feel like this is just obviously the slowest episode, but it's just, I don't think it's that memorable. Like, there are things to talk about, but looking back, I'm not like, oh, that one scene. I did like the Baela and Corlys stuff.
Me too.
I mean, I like the ending with Rhaenyra and Jace, but I think I'm feeling more jaded after watching the preview for next week about it, because it seems very much like, okay, here is the plan. We're going to get the dragon seeds. It's happening. And then now I feel like we're still at a standstill. But I did like the scene. And to echo what you guys were saying, I think Jace is really, really awesome. I mean, I loved him in the book, and I'm glad that he's been just a really great character all in all. But yeah, I like the ending, and it made me really excited. Like, okay, things are going to happen now.
I liked the ending too. It was a good scene. I liked the chemistry between Rhaenyra and Jace. I like Jace in general. I like Jace and Baela. I kind of wish they would like heat up the romance between those two a bit. I feel like they could use some not disgusting mother sex on the show, or just something a little more cousin sex, or cousin romance, something wholesome.
Step sibling sex.
Yeah,
that's what that one is.
Exactly. I liked it. I liked them talking. I thought Jesus they had House good the kind dragon. Of believable family bond. I feel like that scene, it was kind of wild to end on like a mother and son getting an idea to do something. I feel like that scene should have been like halfway through the episode, maybe, and then the ending could be something happening. So that was my objection.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's so many like ideas that happens or like plans that start to get made and then it's nothing. We're not getting it.
Yeah, there was a lot like that. There was like the scene where we chuck in on Hugh Hammer, the future Dragonseed, and his wife and kids.
I like
nice.
I like I the mean, Hugh stuff.
Yeah.
I wish he the show also has a bit of a problem with characters don't really some of them do, but a lot of them don't really have very distinctive personalities. Like, I'm not getting a ton of personality. He just seems like another glum sort of, serious dude. Like, I liked him looking at Maylie's. It's too bad that his child is sick. But my critique of this was that, again, like, his wife is like, we got to go. And then they try to go, and they can't go. And kind of... that's the end of it. Like, I wish that, like, maybe have him go on a journey or something, or like have some movement. Like, maybe if he spent the episode deciding to go from the city, trying to go, not being able to go, finding a way to go anyway, ending somewhere else. Okay, that would be like a little story. But I don't know. There's something unsatisfying about setting up, we need to go. Oh, we can't. It's kind of the same thing as ending it on, we need more dragons. What if we did this? Maybe we should do that. Like, there's a lack of payoff in this episode. That some things are set up and like nothing again. And Damon, like, he tries to get people to come to his side, but it fails and they don't come to his side. There's a lot of like people not trying something and not getting it, which is just not good dramatic arithmetic. Like, you want things to move forward, and to have everybody cut off and for nothing to pay off in the space of an hour just doesn't make it very satisfying watching.
Well, I disagree. I disagree that nothing paid off, because there is one huge part of this episode that we haven't talked about yet, and that is the Greens. So Aemond is really the one who got his payoff. That's Regents, the episode of the episode title. You know, Aemond got his, he essentially cooed Aegon, and now he's in charge as of this episode. Mm-hmm. So I see what you're saying about Hugh. Like, Hugh, characters like Hugh and Ulf are interesting because they really aren't introduced in the book until a little later. So they're building them up earlier, but they're doing it by like giving us just a scene here or there to kind of let us know they're around and like give us a peek into their life, which I've enjoyed because I didn't expect to see them at all at this point. So it's, I liked that Hugh gave us like the eyes of the peasants in King's Landing, like that first scene of the dragon head being carted through. I did not expect that to go the way it did, where everyone's like, oh my God, like, this is awful. Like, why did you think we would want it? We're starving. Why are you parading?
I did like that scene.
The sigil of your house, but also all this meat that we can't eat through the middle of the city. Like, that is interesting. And Aemond, you know, I didn't really catch why Aemond sealed the city the first time, but it's so that word doesn't get out that King's Landing is in dire straits.
I read the subtitles this time, so I caught it. It was during that. Yeah. Again, there were some good scenes. I liked the scene where they're at the small council and Allison's like, I should rule. And then they say, no, 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 no. And then she has like a panic attack as the camera slowly zooms in on her, kind of gets muffled.
I love that shot.
It was good. It was a decent scene. And I did like the thematic resonance of Allison kind of getting shot down by her male small council members. For, you know, it does make a certain amount of horrible sense. Like, Lareth points out, like, well, we're rejected Rhaenyra because she's a woman. It would look a little weird to put you on the throne because you're a woman. But they kind of paralleled that with Rhaenyra also getting talked over by her small council members and her trying to gather that in. I got it. I liked it. I kind of worry with the show that it'll start to feel didactic or moralistic. And in the Daemon scenes, I did. Like, when those lords were like, "Tisk, Tisk, how dare you be bad? How dare you do mean things during the war, you bad, bad man?" I felt very patronized. But I thought the commentary on misogyny was more subtle and nuanced and kind of book. And I did appreciate the thematic stuff. But anyway, the Alicent scene. So it kind of slow pans on her while she's having a panic attack, muffled voices. And they say that basically people in the city, they want to get out because they're afraid that Rhaenyra is going to firebomb them. And they're starving because of the blockade. So that's why they close the gates, to keep people from leaving.
Natalie, what did you think of the Greens? Anything in particular that stood out to you, or that you disliked, or that you loved?
I did, and I think it makes me mad to admit it, but I did think they had the stronger scenes, just for what everything you guys always. Just said. Not always, no.
Often. I love the Greens this season. The Greens are, I've been Team Green since the start.
This season, they have really, really great scenes. Hate them, but love the scenes.
Love the scenes.
I love Aemond. Like, every episode, I'm just like, yes, please continue. Like, I feel like he's one of the most interesting characters. I mean, a lot of them are, but this season, definitely, because he's so unpredictable. And so I'm glad that he got the regent status now. And it wasn't surprising that he was like, all right, I'm going to sit down and here's the plan and this is what we're going to do. Like, waiting for this moment for so long. Like, every day watching Aegon like struggle to give any type of directive at that table. And now he finally can do it himself. So that was cool. I mean, like, I was happy for him, even though I'm Team Rhaenyra, but yeah, I thought that was great. And I loved him like walking into Aegon's room and like, just like standing over him being like, all right, what are we going to do? Like, he did not care if he was going to live or die. At least it seemed that way. And yeah, I mean, poor Alicent, like, God, give her a bone. Like, at some point, like, she's not going to get one, but poor thing. She's like, obviously it should be me. And they're like, no, obviously it should. And I liked her. I honestly did like one of the conversations she had with Kristen, even though I still hate him. But I thought that was really interesting, of her kind of insinuating like, you kind of only want me when we're in bed together, but you have no respect for me in real life. And he kind of, you know, said his answer. So yeah, those were good things.
And I liked her. I enjoyed that one too. I like seeing the Cheese's dog again as they cut down the rat catchers.
Which yes, I was just going to say that.
Someone pointed out the rat catchers are still up. Yeah, come on. Which, yeah, I'm a little surprised they're still up there. I guess Aegon insisted they stay up there.
That's kind of the point. Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. I miss Otto too. But I liked Alicent giving it to Kristen. I also liked Kristen. The Greens have been the highlight this year. Man. Daemon is so
it's going badly.
It's going badly over in Harrenhal. Well, what do we think?
Yeah, sorry, it's interesting.
Not to go negative
to me,
again.
Well, so it does feel like with Team Black, there was a need to like fill time a little bit more. And like, we can agree over the ways that they're doing it. But I realized in this episode, I was really glad that the whole dragon seed thing, that was a conversation between Jace and Rhaenyra, because I realized that they've given Rhaenyra like three-ish, I think, things that were Jace's from the book, because they just didn't kind of have stuff for Rhaenyra to do, I guess. So like, sending Rhaena to the Vale was Jace in the book. Choosing Corlys Velaryon as Hand of the Queen was a decision Jace made in the book. So there's all these things that are like Rhaenyra decisions now. And there is a little bit of a feeling of like, they just needed stuff for Rhaenyra. But there's one comment I want to call out. I think it was Robert Harris who asked who the person that Mysaria's spy, her spy is Alinda Massey, who's Rhaenyra's handmaiden. She went to King's Landing near the end of the episode And Robert asks who she found, who she saw there. That's probably going to be important. That was, yeah, Diana, the servant in the Red Keep who Aegon assaulted during season one. The very first scenes we ever saw of Tom Glenn Carney as Aegon were the fallout of him assaulting poor Diana. And Alicent paid her off to basically drink moon tea in case she was pregnant and then go like live in Flea Bottom somewhere and not make trouble for anyone.
Yeah.
So presumably Missaria is about to make a lot of trouble. Dan, I know Missaria's we had talked about this earlier. Missaria has been good. I've liked her a lot this season, and she was like one of my least favorite characters in season one. That scene, we thought they cut a scene of Helaena Targaryen at the funeral. It's in the next episode, so it looks like there's going to be a riot in King's Landing, and Allison and Helaena happen to be they don't have a huge wardrobe in the Red Keep. They happen to be wearing similar clothing to what they wore at the funeral, but I guess this time they're just like, I don't know, at a market or a stroll. Yeah.
They're going to the farmer's market.
There's a little unrest. Guess we should go see what's up.
My guess is that they try to put him out there to like placate the growing riotous sentiment and it goes badly. As long as there's some action, I'll be happy. Not sure there's much else to say. Let's read some of the comments, although I can't see everything.
Yeah.
As Julie says, yes, I hope so. We need trouble. I completely agree with you there. Any other mysteries we left out? We did meet Jane Eyre and Amanda Collin. Perfectly fine scene.
Yeah.
No notes, but not jumping for joy and excitement either. But good, yes. Solid, nice.
Was
good,
glad good to see her. You. Wish we had seen a little more.
Okay. And I agree with Kelly. Aegon saying mummy when Alicent walked out kind of broke me. Aegon had one line this episode. I thought he was still my favorite character of the episode. He's so good. I don't know why they can't find that kind of dynamism with some of the other people, but I think I'm done complaining for the episode. I've done a lot of complaining tonight. and as Lisa says, the random villager with a sick daughter, that'll be an important random villager, Lisa. Let's hope they're important sooner rather than later. Does anybody else have any other thoughts they want to share before we cycle on out?
I have a question for you guys. What did you think of the twins and House Frey?
Cool. That was one of the better scenes. Jace out in his dragon talking, negotiating. As a book nerd, again, I can't help asking, like, where is this going? Because in the book, Daemon just has everybody over to his side. But I enjoyed the scene. I thought it was, Jace getting his negotiator on, gets some bent knees, has a drink, got a shot of a dragon. Good, solid, nice scene. Jace is nice. Good model face, given blue steel.
Yeah.
I also thought it was fine. It was interesting. I mean, it was nice to see, new locations. That was one that, like, I had to rewatch the scene over because I was like, what are they even talking about? Okay, got it. Cool. Okay, we can move on. But yeah, go Jace. Love Jace.
Love Jace. I always love
seeing more Jace.
I will say before I sign off, and again, just complaining again, I like Jace. I like Bella. I like Rhaenyra. I like Missaria. I love Aegon, and I really like Aemon. I just want them to kick up this level to like love for a few people. And I'm hoping that'll happen next Sunday, where we will be back here on the Winter is Coming YouTube and Facebook page to do just that. To review, to analyze, to discuss, to live, to laugh, to love, to joke, to enjoy each other's company, to enjoy your company, to read your comments, to respond to your comments, to just soak up all the dragony goodness. And in addition to that, we are also live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time at the same places, Winter is Coming YouTube page, Facebook page, where we talk about other things in the worlds of books, sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, etc. Also, available in podcast form, wherever they're available. Like us, comment, subscribe. I want to ask one more time because I don't want to cut this off too short. Any other thoughts you guys have before we sign off for good?
I want to hit JP's question because I saw it get asked at least twice in the chat. So we can't go too deep on all the deets for this because it is a book spoiler, the dragon seed stuff. But JP in the chat asked, do you guys think they are setting up Reyna to claim Sheep Stealer in the Vale per the rumors? So just for context there, for people who may not know, there's a dragon named Sheep Stealer who eventually becomes important and becomes important through a character in the books named Nettles, who is a common-born character who basically befriends this dragon by feeding it a bunch of sheep. And before the season, there were some rumors that they were going to not include Nettles and have Reyna get that plotline instead and move Sheep Stealer to the Vale. Sheep Stealer lives on Dragonstone in the book. Real quick, what do you guys think of that? Do you think that's going to pan out? I personally don't. I am not banking on Reyna and Sheep Stealer whatsoever.
Maybe. Maybe not.
I don't really like it, but they did have in the preview just a quick moment of her looking up at something and looking like shocked.
Ooh.
That could totally not be it.
Okay.
Maybe that's why JP is asking.
Yeah, that's definitely fair.
I hope
Leo,
she's looking
I would
at...
love two more episodes this season.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens next week. Good talking to you all. I agree, Martha. Fun discussing after the show. I appreciate you all as well. The feeling's mutual. Guys, thanks for coming here. Thanks for chatting. And we'll be back on Wednesday. We're back again on Sunday. Thanks for watching and good night.
Hey, Carol.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.